Reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 2 and starts at on page 58 of the church Bibles if you'd like to follow it. So starting from the beginning of Exodus chapter 2. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
So, loving God, thank you for that story which has been given to us as your people. That story in which we see mothers and their response to a particular situation. Help us to encounter you now in this story and bring it to life for us in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day is one of those days in church which is all slightly mixed up with all kinds of different traditions. And also, I think I just want to acknowledge here that it's loaded for people. So there are people who are not mothers and who would like to be, who wrestle with motherhood, who wrestle with the fact that their own mothers might not have been very motherly in some ways. And there's pain for those who don't have their mothers with them any longer. So it's just being able to say out loud that actually Mother's Day is one of those days of both joy and pain in a church community. And we should be able to hold one another in that, in both the joy and the pain as a community together, to hold each other and to hold all the different things that Mother's Day is as we walk together as people in community together and who follow Jesus. But the good news, actually, for us in churches is that Mother's Day means something more and bigger than simply the sort of hallmark Mother's Day that often we see. When the Bible talks of mothers, as I said, it's something that is a message for all of us, men and women, grown-ups and children. Whoever we are, the mothers of the Bible tell us something about who we all are as God's children. So let's look at this story today. It's a famous story. It's one that you all would have heard bits and pieces of, I'm sure, along the years. Moses was born at a time when the Pharaoh of the land of Egypt had forgotten that many years before that, God had sent Joseph into their midst, and Joseph had saved the land from the effects of a really bad famine which had gone on for many years. And Joseph's family, Jacob and Joseph's, his father and Joseph's brothers, had gone to live in Egypt. And that is why Egypt had so many Hebrews as part of their population. But Pharaoh had forgotten this Pharaoh. And all that he was worried about was that he did not have control any longer. But that perhaps they would be overrun by a swarm of foreigners. And Pharaoh thought that he was a god. And he knew that Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world, the nation to which all the other nations was going to bow, whether they liked it or not. And they simply couldn't have the Hebrews taking over. And so Pharaoh came up with a plan. Kill all the baby boys of the Hebrews as soon as they were born. But the thing is that when people are in power and they believe themselves to be the ultimate power, you know, Pharaoh thought he was the big kahuna, they often forget to take into consideration anyone who they deem to be at the bottom of the pile, whether it's because of their gender, their ethnicity, because of the way their body was made. If they are deemed to be at the bottom of the pile, the power at the top thinks they need to take very little notice of them. Anyone that they think is so far beneath them that they couldn't possibly have any power to do anything to upset the power that they have established. And into Pharaoh's world comes two women. They don't even get names, these women. And often that's the case. Women in the Bible don't really have an identity that they're given apart from who they're defined. They're defined by the men who have power over them. And so here we have Moses' mother. Moses may just be a baby, but, you know, he's a boy. And Pharaoh's daughter. She may be the daughter of the most important man in the world, but she's still a daughter. And together, they take on Pharaoh. Moses' mother hides him until in her own house, until she can hide him no more. I'm sort of surprised that she could hide him for 3 months, because babies at that age are quite noisy. But there we go. 3 months she hides him, and then she can hide him no more. And so she puts him in the river. And there are a couple of things to take away from this, I think, to note. I'm sure there are more than that, but I'll give you two. It probably wasn't like how it was in that video. Like I say, some artistic license. It is more than likely that Moses' mother placed Moses very deliberately in an area of the Nile, in the reeds, where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter came and bathed. She knew that Pharaoh's daughter was going to find him. She effectively placed a time bomb in the middle of Pharaoh's court. And she knew somehow that the only place that her Hebrew baby would be safe was in the very place where they wanted to destroy him and all the Hebrews. Secondly, the Nile was a vehicle of power and wealth in Egypt. It was the symbol of the status of Egypt as the economic power in that area. The commercial world went through it. It was a trade route. It was how they kept their status. And in this action by Moses' mother, she makes the Nile the vehicle through which this particular oppressive regime is torn down. It's quite neat, that. Quite like that. And so Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses. And she doesn't drown this Hebrew baby. I wonder why. There might have been a whole host of reasons. As Pam said to me this morning, and it struck me that this is a possibility, I just wonder if she had any children of her own. If perhaps her situation was that she wanted to be a mother and wasn't. It's just a thought to put there. But this is also the thing. Sometimes we find ourselves in institutions or structures which are so big and so powerful that we just don't know how to buck the system. We know there's something rotten at its core. We know there's injustice, but we don't know how to combat that. We know it isn't right, and we should do something about it, but we're in it. We're in it. How can we subvert it from the inside? Something that just seems so far out of our ability to do anything to change it. And after all, he's just a baby. What harm can one baby do? Pharaoh's daughter was insignificant, most likely, in the life of Pharaoh's court. Her job would have been simply to perpetuate the system, and maybe she even wasn't very good at that in that culture. Let her keep one Hebrew baby. And this is how violence and oppression are undone. The voice of the oppressed rising up from outside the system, Moses' mother, and the action of the prophet inside the system, Pharaoh's daughter. And together, they find themselves in the heart of the story, God's story, through which the whole world becomes saved and blessed. So, today, as we contemplate these two mothers, Moses' birth mother and his adoptive mother, these two women who arguably took down one of the most powerful nations in human history, let's go away and ask ourselves, all of us, what these mothers have to teach us. What are the systems that need upsetting in our nation, in our town, in our place of work, those institutions which we find ourselves in? How might we open our ears more and more to put ourselves in places where we can hear the voice of the oppressed? How might we take action to change the system? It might just be a small, insignificant action, but you never know. And how might we be those who listen to God's story and tell it through our own lives? And how might we, therefore, all be mothers in that way today. Amen.